Tonight we're going to be in the book of James, James 1. And Amber sort of heard this before because we were doing a devotional on it. And I went a little long and I was like, oh, I'm really sorry. And she was like, no, it's great. We're going to be in James chapter 1, basically verses 1 through 7. And we're going to talk about trials. So, have you ever wondered why things don't go your way? Why you're always getting the short end of the stick? Do you have bad luck? Excuse me, I like to walk around, but I can't, so it's going to be hard for me. So, it's not because you have bad luck. Because if you think about it, it's God's way of getting your attention. There's something that you're doing that he's trying to make you better. Okay? And it sounds a little weird, but when you go through trials, you're being tested. Okay? You're being tested to be a better person, no matter what it is. He's trying to mold you into the person that he created you to be. So it took me a long time to realize that. I'm 46 years old, okay? I'll be 47 in a couple months. Well, month and a half. All right? Not all of us can be young like you. Isn't it your birthday at the end of the month? Uh-huh. That's right. It took until I was probably 41 to realize. And the only reason I realized it is because he brought me out here. Okay? A lot of you guys know my background. Worked for Lowe's for many years. Worked many hours. My daughters, didn't see a lot of them. And that's because I put my job and money first. But that's not what he had planned for me. When I came out here, I wanted to be a police officer. I went through the police academy. Now, it was only for 6 weeks, but that wasn't his plan. So he had put me through different trials. When Pastor Robert asked me a month ago if I wanted to teach, I was pretty excited about it. I always get excited, but I get nervous. Why? Because you got to stand in front of people. Not a real big, strong point for me. But what I wanted to talk about was not what he wanted me to talk about. I had an idea. I found verses. I was stressing. I wasn't sleeping. I was getting short. And it wasn't until I had talked to my dad and my wife this week that not only gave me words of encouragement, but also helped me to calm down and said, you'll be fine. He's going to guide you. So what I decided to do is complete a devotion that I started with the teachers, which, like I said, was in John chapter 1. And it talks about trials. And verse 2 and 4 says, my brethren, count it a joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfected, and complete, lacking nothing. Pastor Pablo said this a lot of times. How many people have asked for trials? How many people would count a trial as a joy? I know I don't ask for trials, and I know that I don't count them a joy, not when I'm going through them. What I do is I ask for guidance in them, okay? Because everybody has a trial. Everybody's going through something, whether it's work, whether it's home, whether it's finance, whether it's family. Everybody goes through that. And Paul says here that when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. When you're in a trial, you're being tested for your faith. Are you trusting in God to know that He's going to take you through it? Or are you going to be bitter and angry and not sure how to respond to it? When you have patience, it's a lot easier to think things through. It makes a lot more sense because you can figure out the plan of action. If you don't have patience, you end up saying things that you regret later. You do things that you probably shouldn't have done. You don't make smart decisions. You get angry. You get upset, and you don't think rationally. Now, as a boy, I really had no patience, and Monica can tell you this. You guys have heard some of our stories growing up. You know, playing sports, I had no patience. You know, I used to be a pitcher in the Little League, and when it wasn't going good, I would get mad. And then it wouldn't be right, because or throw a wild pitch and hit somebody. Not really a good thing. But as a kid, you don't really think about that. But let's talk about being an adult. If I don't have patience now, it affects my family. It affects my work. Okay? When someone is not doing their job at work, right? That means somebody else has to pick up the slack. At my job at Target, I try to teach and show them the reason why I need them to do certain steps. Because it'll make everything go much easier, not just for me, but in the long run, it's going to make them, make their lives easier too. Whether it's air conditioning, whether it's the registers, whether it's fixing an upright, which is the two sides that the shelves, you got the cross beam, and then you have the shelf so you can put stuff on. But if they don't do it and they just keep tapping me and say, hey Mike, guess what? Mike's list gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and that one thing that they want done doesn't get done. So what are you supposed to do? Verses 5 and 7 say, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So during your trials, you should be asking in faith for wisdom, with no doubting, none whatsoever. Because if you think about it, think of a wave. When you go to the beach, whether you go to the water parks or whatever. Big wave, kid or adult, okay? Something bigger is going to knock you over, right? So if you have a trial and you're not asking for him in faith for the wisdom and for the guidance, you're going to tumble over, right? You're going to start panicking. You're going to start trying to think, I need air. I don't know what to do. You start swallowing the water. When you start swallowing, then you start choking, and then you really panic. So we need patience and wisdom and faith when it comes, when that wave comes, so we're prepared for it. At work, I have a district person above me that needs information. I have store team members wanting something fixed. I have peers that call me for help to find part numbers so they can order something. I have vendors needing to talk to me about what they fix or what they need to do. Today was a perfect day of this. It was funny because my boss was saying, "How's your day? Are you okay? I know you're getting pulled different directions." And all I could think about was how I was going to talk about the trials today, because I've had that before. I've been overwhelmed before. The month of May was a very, very overwhelming month. So I was like, yeah, I'm okay today. But before, it would be like, okay, what am I supposed to do? I got to figure out how to prioritize this. I've got to get this done. I got to get that done. I got to answer emails. It's hard to go through trials. It really is. But to go through a trial and to come out of it, you're a better person. Whether you believe it or not, you really are. Because, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit and probably say it again, but when you go through a trial and you come through it, you learn from it. And then you can go ahead and help somebody else with it. When you learn something, there's different things that you're going to get out of the trial. A lot of it for me is patience. It could be strength. It could be wisdom. It could be to humble myself. I remember one trial that I went through where I had a team member at work who was doing something. He had dropped something at a certain location. I'm like, no, it doesn't go there. And then he's like, well, this is where I was told to put it, and he walked away. I'm like, no, 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 we're not playing that. So that's pride falling on me. So instead of me handling the trial of how to deal with this team member and showing him the right way to do things, I got mad. So then I called his supervisor. Normally for me, I don't know about you, but when I start to get mad during a trial, guess what happens? I end up being humbled, and I end up going back and saying, you know what, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have been like that. Because I didn't think about it, and I didn't take the time to listen to what God was trying to show me before it happened. 2 Samuel 22:33 says, God is my strength and power. He makes my way perfect. And that's very true. He does. We may not see it. Man, I want to walk around so bad, but I can't. He does. He is our strength. He is our power. And he does make our way perfect. And why does he make our way perfect? So that we can tell people about him and what he does for us and how he has changed our lives. Because there's not anybody that I know of that has not done something wrong from the time that they were born to the time of now. Everybody has done something wrong. But if you've done something wrong and you've given it to God, the next time that happens or you're in that situation, you don't do that same thing. Isaiah 33:6 says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. I love wisdom and knowledge. I was a very, very, very unstable kid. Well, my wife would say I'm probably still unstable sometimes, but you know, I have to have that wisdom. I have to have that knowledge. I have to have that strength. I have to have that patience. When people ask me, why are you like that? It's by the grace of God. That's just the bottom line. It's by the grace of God that I can go ahead and go to work every single day with a smile. I can give that attitude of, what can I do for you? You know, okay, I'll get back to you here in just a second. It's that time when I can tell that vendor, nope, that's not going to work. You need to come back out here and fix it. Wisdom, strength, knowledge, it's all something that I need. And it's all something that you need when you go through your different trials. Sorry, guys. Jumping over to verse 12 now in James. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. When he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So when you have trials, you're going to be tempted. You'll be tempted to be mean. You'll be tempted to do something out of character. You'll be tempted to pull away from him. You have to endure the trials, as hard as they are. You have to endure them. Because you're going to receive something bigger and better than anything on earth. If you're given a trial and you're tempted, it's only because God is trying to make you how you're supposed to be. Not what you think you should be. Like I said, I came out here, I thought I should be a cop, right? That's what I wanted to be. This whole event that's been going on in the news, when I talked to my dad, when I talked to my mom, and they both said the same thing to me. I'm so glad that you were not a cop. That wasn't by my choice, but that was by God's choice. Okay? He has a different plan for me. My boss at work, I told her, we talk a lot, and I told her, I said, you know, when times like this happen, it's in my nature to serve and to protect. And I know that that is the police model, saying to serve and protect. Ray came in on Sunday, and I was standing like this. And Eric does it too. We both stand like this, right? During worship. And he's like, at ease, soldier. Why are you on guard? We've heard of different stories, events, where people have gone into churches, you know? It's not something that you want to happen. So you're going to be on alert. Now, me and Eric are lucky. I don't know, I'm sure he does it, but our glasses are great because there's little reflections in there and you start going like this and you start looking around. And every time I do, Kelly's like, what are you doing?
Nothing.
You know? Because I see stuff in the reflection and I'm like, okay, that took a little bit longer than normal to go by there. So I want to see what's going on. You know, it's in my nature to serve, to help however I can. It's in my nature to protect. Now, did I go through the entire police academy? No. But would I lay my life down for people? Yes. Why? Because that is a trial that God is asking me, is this what you're meant to do? Would you be willing to do that? And I would. I would because I can't explain it. I love God. He's put in my heart to serve and protect. I may not have the training, but I have the heart and the desire for it. Let no one say, sorry, verses 13 and 15 through 15, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. The bottom line here is if you're tempted, it's because you wanted to be. That's just the bottom line. Let's just call it what it is, okay? God won't tempt you. Satan will. Satan tries that. But God won't. And Pastor Sean said on Sunday, the devil knows the Bible and he will twist it. That's what the devil does in the lives of Christians. He waits for a time when our guard is down, and then he'll hit you with everything. If we're tempted during trials, it says it. Sin is conceived. When sin is full grown, it brings forth death. Not physical death, maybe, but spiritual death. It's going to bring death. It's going to take you away from him. Your own desires, more money, better clothes, making yourself look better to others, being overconfident is what creates sin. There's not one of those sayings that I just said that didn't happen to me. Because when I worked for Lowe's, I wanted more money. I wanted to have nice clothes. I was trying to make myself look better in front of our district people and our store manager. I was overconfident, thinking that I knew better. So what ended up happening? I worked for a person who stuck by the rules a little bit more. And even though to me it did not make sense, I ended up losing my job. I ended up coming out here because there was no work out in California. And then my life changed. Nobody says that you can't want more money. You don't want better clothes. You can't make yourself look better, or you can't be overconfident. But when that is your focus, that's when sin starts to grow. And then that's when you start spiraling down. The thing is I can't say enough how much I thank God that I came out here so that he could open up my heart and open up my mind. I may not know all the verses memorized, but I know I've got good teaching here that helps me to understand them. I know that I can go back and I can look them up and apply them to my life. And that's what I want to do, is I want to find those verses that will help me in my life so that I can go ahead and help others. Because everybody's at work, okay? Everybody has something going on. And you know that when you have that one person who's never the same every time, you see someone, they're always the same. Whether it's a friend, whether it's a brother, whether it's a sister, whether it's a coworker, you see that one person and they're just not the same. You ask them what's wrong. They may tell you, they may not. If they tell you, ask them if you can pray for them. I had a vendor at my at work who told me that his daughter was in the hospital. And he wouldn't go into detail, but he allowed me to pray for her, which is really good. Stepping out to talk about God, there's another trial. To step out and to say, you know what? I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Holy Spirit. They are the ones that guide me in everything that I do. I don't do that a lot. But everybody at work knows of my faith because they'll see me at lunch reading my Bible, or they'll see me praying before I have my meal. But if God puts it on my heart to talk to somebody, I'm going to talk to them. I don't do it voluntarily, because that's a trial that scares me, because I don't want to misrepresent God, but he will give me that strength to say the right words. Verses 16 and 18 say, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." What's the good gift that I received? I think I've said it a lot, but the gift, he was with me every day, getting me through the day, reminding me that speaking out of anger would be a sin. And if I did that, I wouldn't be showing people that Christ is in me. There's no better gift than that. There really isn't. That he's with you every single day. That he loves you. That the reason why you go through these trials and these tribulations is so that you can see what he has planned for you. And I said it earlier, especially during times that we've had these shootings, protests, I'm somebody that wants to serve. I'm somebody that wants to protect. I found on the Midlothian site that they have what's called a community emergency response team. And that's to help the community in times of emergencies. And, you know, over the last couple months, we've had rain, we've had tornadoes, everything, right? But if I could get that training that would help me to help somebody else, that would be good. And it's because, again, that's God putting that on my heart to serve and to protect as best I can. Over the past year, we've gone through some trials in our family. Some had to do with family, some had to do with friends, some had to do with work. Didn't like them at all. Nobody likes them. But I went through them for a reason. I went through them because the next time there was another trial, I was able to look at it a little bit better, think about it a little bit clearer, speak a little bit easier about it. I told you earlier, sometimes my trials send me to be humble. Sometimes they send me to help people. But no matter what, one of the things I always remembered, and this is from years ago when I was up in Washington, my dad had started a Bible study with my brother and myself. and the very first verse that he wanted us to memorize was 1 Corinthians 10:12-13. And that says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I try to remember that every single time. I really do. Because nothing is so bad that he won't get us through it. He won't help me and show me a way that's going to make me stronger in it. So back to the trials. Sounds weird. And I know after what I've said, it probably doesn't sound right, but we should be joyful for those trials. We should be joyful for him because he's helping us be who we should be. When you have the trials, you get mad, you get frustrated. But what's really happening is your limits are being tested to make you better than what you think you're capable of. If you've been in the military, if you've gone to school, if you've tried to do a profession that you might need a degree in or special training in, you know that you have to go through tests. Because as a mechanic, you can't do everything unless you get that certification. As a soldier, you can't go on to your next rank until you have proven that you have gone through the test. When you go to school to get your degree, you have to go through those tests. They're teaching you to be better so that you can understand what it is that you're supposed to do in that category that you're dealing with at the time. There's so many different things that I have to do at work. I never thought I could do any of this, but I think I've told you guys, my job basically is maintenance, okay? Which is, I have to be a plumber, I have to be an electrician, I have to be a contractor, I have to be an IT tech guy, I have to be a leader. There's just so many different things. But I have to keep learning so that I can go ahead and do my job, and so that I can go ahead and provide for my family, and so that I can go ahead and show somebody else, because if I show somebody else, then they'll be just as hopefully they'll be just as eager to show others. And when they ask me, where do you get your strength from? It's all from God. When you go through your trials, and you will go through trials, you're going to have temptations. And when you survive them, you'll see the gift that he wanted you to have. I don't know what the gift is for you. I don't know what it'll be. It may be compassion. It may be strength. It may be love. But that's what he's going to show you. The way that you get through those trials is being faithful in your walk with the Lord every day. That's how you get through those trials. When I go and I read my devotional, I read it and I try to understand it. But when you're asked to stand in front of a group of people, you study those words, those verses. because you want to know what you're saying is coming from God. You can doubt your friends. You can doubt your coworkers. You can doubt your family. You can even doubt yourself. But you can never doubt God. If you think about it, there has never been a time that He has not been there for you. And if you think that He's not been there for you, it's because you've not been with Him. You've pulled away from Him. I don't ask God for the trials, but I know I'm going to get them. This morning when I was going to work, I was like, okay, let's see what happens today. And as soon as I got there and things started, I was supposed to go to another store and help that store out because their property management technician is on vacation. And then we had a software issue and we couldn't get that resolved. So I had to stay at my store. And then they were asking me, what's going on with the AC? And then they were asking me, this register's going down, and hey, I need the cleaning crew to do this. But all I could think about is, how am I going to handle that? And the way that I handled it was by His, I could feel God giving me that patience that I needed. Philippians 1, 5 through 6 says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He has begun, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You're going through trials, you're going through tribulations, but He has begun a good work in you. And He will continue to be a good to work in you. There's nothing that He's not going to do that would make you slip. We slip because we don't stay close to Him. That is just the bottom line. If I have a bad day, it's because I didn't look to Him for my strength. If I allow my manager to ask me something and then ask me something and ask me something, and I don't have the right answers for her, it's because I am trying to do things Mike's way, not God's way. His way is always the best. Kelly can tell you, 6 years ago, not the best for us. We still have our husband and wife discussions, our little talks, but there's not really, no, there's not. There's not a day that we don't wake up, send the text saying, I love you, did you sleep good? Have a disagreement, go back and say, I'm sorry, we need to communicate more. It's not the way it was before. It is now, and it's only because of our focus on God. If there's anything that you guys get out of this today, is that your fellowship with God is what's going to get you through your trials. And your trials that you're going to have is because God wants you to be better. And He wants to show you who you are, why He made you, and what you're capable of.